When I think of all my faults and all my failures, when I consider all the times I've let God down, I am humbled by the grace He has extended. I'm amazed at the mercy I have found. I could never earn His love on my own, yet every time I come before His throne,
I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed before the great I Am. When He looks at me, He sees the nail-scarred hands that bought my liberty. I stand redeemed.
Even at my best, I am unworthy. I have nothing precious I can give. A broken life is all I have to offer, and yet it's a priceless gift to Him.
The bitter mark of sin will never fade away, but I can come before Him unashamed. I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed before the great I Am. When He looks at me, He sees the nail-scarred hands that bought my liberty. I stand redeemed. When He looks at me, He sees the nail-scarred hands that bought my liberty. I stand redeemed. I stand redeemed.
Take your Bibles, please, if you would stand to your feet when you find Jonah chapter number 3. We'll give you some time. If you need to turn to the book of Matthew, turn back a few books, find your index, or just fake it. Jonah chapter number 3, please. If you're able, stand to your feet. If you're not, that is okay if you remain seated. I'll give you just a moment to find that. Jonah chapter number 3. I give you a book, it comes before or after, but that might be just as hard as finding Jonah, so it may not help a whole lot. All right, Jonah chapter number 3, and we'll read verse 1 through verse number 4. The Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Let's bow our head for a word of prayer. God, I ask for your anointing and for our help on our pastor during this time. And the word of God, may it go forth with power to do the work that you want to accomplish today. Lord, as you did a work with Jonah in this day in Nineveh, Lord, I know you want to do a work again today. If there's anyone in this room that does not know Christ as their Savior, that they don't know if heaven or hell would be their home, Lord, I pray today they would trust in Jesus Christ as their only way to heaven. Bless this day and be with those that are home and sick and hurting and not able to be here. We ask for your blessing on this time we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. As you're being seated, check your cell phone, please. And don't see if it's on. See if it's off. Make sure that it is off. Turn to vibrate, silent. Whatever the case may be, help us there, please, for these next couple of minutes. You know, the world today has a misunderstanding, I believe, about God. God is a God of judgment. God is a God of wrath. God is a God of chastisement. God is a God of punishment. God created a place called hell. And I'm here to declare to you this morning also that this about God, He is the God of a second chance. He's the God of a second chance. It's our skewed perspective about God that gets us into trouble. Some people think He's a big teddy bear in the sky, Santa Claus, ATM machine. That's too bad. That's not God. Others see Him as scolding, harsh. By the way, He is a God of wrath and judgment. But do you see that in Jonah chapter 3 and verse number 1, that first verse? I'm not going to parse the scripture, not going to go down and parse the verbs, give you Greek and Hebrew. I'm going to tell you this morning. When God came to Jonah, it says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. We know what happens in Jonah, right? God came to Jonah and said, I want you to go down to the city of Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Nineveh was the capital of an empire that hated Jews. They had a particular hatred for the Jews. I mean, they tortured them. They would go to a city, the Assyrian army would go to a Jewish city, and not only to conquer the city, but they would take all the leaders of the city and cut their heads off and put them on the end of a stick and line the road to the city with the heads of the leaders. They hated Jews. And God comes to a man named Jonah and says, I want you to go to the capital of that city and tell them all they need to get right with God. So Jonah takes off and runs to the other side of the world. Don't hold that against him. We think, yeah, well, he should have trusted God. I agree, he should have. But if God told you to go to a city that hated Christians and tell them, y'all got to get saved, you got to get born again, you would probably want to run the other side of the world too. Jonah tries to run the other side of the world. He encounters a storm. They throw him. He jumps overboard. No, he throw him overboard. And he is swallowed by a what, church? A whale. Say, well, it was a great fish, Pastor Johnson. Jesus said it was a whale in Matthew 12. I'll take his word for it. Probably one of the most assaulted accounts in Scripture is Jonah in the whale. 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of a whale. You can't live in there. Scientifically impossible. I mean, come on. That's just not going to happen. But when Jesus likened his bodily resurrection to Jonah coming out of that whale after 3 days and three nights, it's more than just an account of Scripture. This is now attached to all the other doctrines in the Bible. People, look at me. Stop letting knuckleheads get you to question what God says. Learn to just take it on face value. Yeah, but scientifically, Pastor, there's no whale with a throat opening large enough to swallow a man. You're right. There was one. Just like there was one who raised himself from the dead, Jesus Christ. 2 weeks from now is Easter Sunday. Look, it's either about Easter eggs and bunnies who lay eggs. If you think about it. And they're telling us we're messed up. I don't know a lot, but I know bunnies do not lay eggs. It's either about Easter egg hunts and bunnies who lay eggs, or it's about the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And didn't just rise from the dead, he raised himself from the dead after 3 days. Jonah and the whale, this is very important now. So when God tells Jonah to go down to the city and preach against it, and Jonah runs the other side of the world and he has to be swallowed by a whale, it says in this passage, four simple chapters in the Bible, that after 3 days and three nights, Jonah prayed. Now that's a sermon all in itself. How long do you have to live in a whale before you start praying? How long? And he was alive. He wasn't dead and woke up. He was alive for 3 days and three nights in a whale's belly. And then the Bible says, then Jonah prayed. It's like the prodigals who go to the hog pen. They have to eat pig food for a while to wake up and come to themselves. You know what I mean? So here's Jonah now. And now he says, chapter 2 of Jonah, he says, I will go. I'll do what you told me to. And God speaks to the whale and he spits him out onto the shore. And before he does, the Bible says, and then the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. He gets another chance. He is the God of a second chance. And the truth is, you probably wouldn't be here if he wasn't the God of a second chance. I got saved at the age of 9, American Baptist Church, Antioch, California. And from the time I was 12 till I was 22, I ran from God. On a hot August night of 1975, God shook my world. And I came back to God. Say, was it a car wreck and twisting wreckage of a steel? No. Were you arrested and thrown in prison? No. Do you have an incurable disease? No. The catastrophe that woke me up after 10 years out of the will of God was I asked her to marry me. Now, the catastrophe was not getting engaged. It was how we went about it. Let me recap it for you quickly. I started to go back to church, and she was very faithful. We had dated for, 2 weeks. And maybe longer. Maybe not even that long. I don't know. We had written to each other for a year. I was overseas in the service. Again, I was in the Air Force. My IQ was too high to be in another branch of the military. I was overseas in the Arctic, and she started writing to me from my brother's youth group. And we wrote and corresponded for a year, back when people actually wrote stuff on paper and put it in an envelope, licked it, put a stamp on it, and put it in the mail. We're talking old school people. When I came home from getting out of the service, I went to see her first thing. I didn't even go see my family. I went to see her first thing. We dated, for a couple of weeks, and then I figured this is it. She's the one. I had my life figured out. I knew what I wanted to do. I was an air traffic controller in the service. I loved that job. Brother Huffman and I were in the Air Force air traffic controller. I loved the job. I loved everything about it, the pressure and all of that. I just liked it. It just fit me very well. Now I got out of the pressure to get in the ministry. And I had my job figured out. I had my future figured out. All I needed was one piece to the puzzle, and that was the woman. That's all I needed. I needed the woman. And then, so we were dating a couple of weeks. She's it. So we go to a park, Miller Park, Sacramento, California, hot August night. We're sitting on the bench. I didn't know about the ring and the stuff. I just figured, hey, you want to get married, you get married. You know, it's one of those deals. I didn't have all the schooling. Sitting on the park bench, I looked at her, that blonde hair and the hazel green eyes, and I said, Patty, will you marry me? And she looked at me and she said, I don't know. And that's the way she said it. She didn't say, I don't know, or I don't know. It was, I don't know. I said, I said, will you marry me? You know, Ward, June, the beef, picket fence, marry, you know. Marry me. You understand that? Uh-huh. Will you marry me? I don't know. And I just sat there on the bench. What do you do? It's like going out on a blind date. It turns out to be your sister. I mean, what do you do? You've had it. Unless you're from Kentucky. But anyway, so so we just sit there. I said, well, let's go. She goes, well, are you okay? I said, you want to be friends? I mean, what? So we get in the car. My brother and his wife went with us, drove us back to the house, dropped her off, walked her to the door. Yeah, good night. She goes, are you all right? Yeah, all right, sure. And I went and I got in the car, went home. My brother said he knew I was going to ask her to marry me. He said, how'd it go, Mike? I said, well, he goes, she turned you down. I said, no. Well, she said, yes. I said, no. He goes, I said, bud, look at me. She looked at me and said, I don't know, like she doesn't even care. He goes, wow. I said, bud, what do you, he was 2 years older, he was their youth director. I said, bud, come on, what do I do about this? I mean, seriously, I am at a loss. And he looked at me and said, I don't know. That was the crashing thing that brought me to wake up and realize I had God everywhere in my life. I wanted him, but not where he was supposed to be. And I went to my bed that hot August night, 1975. I didn't make any deals with God. You give me her, I'll go to church. None of that junk. I got right with God that night. And I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. After 10 years of literally shaking my fist in his face by my stubborn, wicked living, the God of heaven gave me a second chance. And I took it. He is the God of a second chance. Oh, yes, he is. And you're here because he's the God of a second chance. Why is he the God of a second chance? So this is theologically deep, so stay with me, because he knows we're going to need it. He knows that we'll need it. You know, most people do not get saved the first time they hear the gospel. Most people will hear the gospel many times over. Very few people ever heard it the first time. Carol May, one of the few people ever heard the gospel. Almost 40 years ago on her front porch, I led her and her husband Don's in heaven. Now I led them to Christ, and that's the first time she heard the gospel. She bowed her head, trusted Christ on that front porch there off of Drake Lane. Don't go over there, you'll get shot. But over at their house, that's one of the few people that ever got saved first time they ever heard the gospel. You got more than one chance at it, didn't you? You heard the gospel more than one time, didn't you? God's mercy and God's grace gave you another chance to hear the gospel. You may be here today and you've never settled the matter of your salvation. You know what it is. You know that it's Jesus dying on the cross, paying for your sins and saving you from hell, going to the grave and rising again the third day to give you eternal life in heaven. You know what that is. And you know that's the gospel. And you know that's the gospel that saves a person if they'll trust Christ. But you still have not settled that in your life, even though you've heard it before. He's giving you a second chance because he knows you need it. Now, I would like to tell you, you'll get all the chances you want. Don't worry about it. You came to church today. You heard it before. You know all about it. You can get up and go home today, and don't worry about it. Sometime, another time down the road, if you're one of those foolish Calvinists, you believe you only elect gets in anyway, and then that kind of junk. I said junk. Now, wait a minute. Hold on a second. No, you have to understand something. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. There is the unpardonable sin of continually rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ when you're convicted of your sin. You come when God draws you. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me. Draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You come when God pulls. But I believe every time a person hears the gospel, there's the pull of the Spirit of God. See, he knows we're going to need a second chance. And I'd like to tell you, you'll get a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, and all the rest of that. I can't tell you that. I can tell you this. Right now, breathing, living on this planet, sitting maybe in this room or watching from the internet, you know you never trusted Christ. You know what? You got to settle that now. You're getting a second chance from the second chance God. But he also knows we would need it after we got saved. Isn't that wonderful? You trust Christ, you get saved, your sins are forgiven, your name's written in heaven, and you never, ever sin again. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. Same verse. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He knew saved people. Please don't make that to sound like in your mind, oh, that means I can just sin and be forgiven, sin and be forgiven. Don't mess around with God and don't mess around with sin. I'm just simply saying, Psalm 103:15 says, he knoweth our frame and remembers that we are dust. We're a bunch of dirt God breathed life into. He knows what he got when he got us, and he knows we're sinners saved by the grace of God, and he knows if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He knows that after we get saved, we're going to need a second chance. Not at salvation. No, that's a one-time thing. You're born once into this life. You're born once into God's family. You're kept by the power of God ready to be revealed, the Bible says. You're sealed until the day of redemption, Ephesians chapter 4. Salvation's secure. You don't get it again and again. You're born again one time in your life. But then after salvation, we sure test the limits of his mercy and grace, don't we? Maybe that's just me. I don't know. I'm talking about Mike Johnson this morning, not the sanctified for whom I stand. He's the God of a second chance. You got sideways with him, and he gave you a chance. Because that's who he is. Why is he the God of the second chance? Then I guess the next thought this morning would have to be then, or the next question, let's say, is why does he give us a second chance? You say, because everybody gets one. No, they don't. So you have King Saul, King David. Saul, in one time of rebellion, as it were, Saul, King Saul. He just rebelled somewhat against God, and God cut him off. Took his kingship away from him. One time. That was it. David, on the other hand, commits adultery with a woman, then has her husband murdered to cover his adultery. And David gets another chance. Does that sound right to you? Saul's sin was not anywhere in the category of sin of Saul's sin was nowhere in the category of the sin of David. Nowhere. I would put like adultery and murder kind of like over here. Stubbornness like over here. Both are bad, by the way. But wait a minute. Why does one? You say, well, everybody will get a second chance, Pastor Johnson. No, they don't. No, they don't. The difference is this. It's very simple. The difference is Saul had no attitude or spirit of repentance. David did. When David was confronted about his sin, he didn't say, well, we have sinned. Him and Bathsheba, it takes two people to commit adultery. He said, I have sinned. Look at that. There's no excuses here. None of that. Well, you have to understand, it was a bad day and I wasn't in touch with my inner child and I didn't know where I was and I wasn't feeling good about myself and I wasn't having right feelings in my own heart, in my own life. David said, sir, I have sinned. His repentance was just, look at me, it was simple but genuine. Saul, when he was confronted about his stubbornness, said to the prophet Samuel, now come with me and make it look good in front of other people. I probably shouldn't have done that with the Amalekites and the king and all that stuff. But you know what? You know what? I'm the king and this can't look bad in front of other people. See, no repentance. Repentance, ladies and gentlemen, simply means I admit that I'm wrong and I turn and acknowledge this is now the right direction. So you see, that's how you get the second chance with God. He's just simply looking for somebody who's willing to admit that they were wrong and acknowledge it before God with no excuses. Do you realize in the parable of the prodigal son, that boy would have stayed in the pig pen eating pig food, living with pigs the rest of his life. And remember it says in there that he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. You know what he was doing? He was making a living out of living with pigs. He was making a living out of eating pig food. This kid, look at me. This kid was trying to make the pig pen work for him. 40 plus years of ministry, I see a lot of people today, frankly, they don't realize it, but they're trying to make the pig pen work. Oh man, they get self-improvement courses, they get feeling better about themselves, they got all this stuff and they're just, all they're doing is rearranging the pig pen. Just trying to make it a little better, try a little this, try a little that. But it wasn't until the young man in that hog pen said, I will arise and go unto my father. But it started right here first. The Bible said he came to himself. That means he woke up. It's like literally he woke up and looked around and went, wait a minute. Wait a minute. The servants have it better than this at my dad's house. I'm living with pigs and I'm trying to make it work. I will arise and go to my father. And he didn't just say it. What did he do? He got up and he left the hog pen. Repentance. Hey, you know, God's amazing. I would like to tell you he'll give everybody a second chance. He'll give anybody a second chance who's willing to do business with God on God's terms the way God says. Then he'll give you a second chance. See, that's why it amazes me sometimes in working with people. You think, well, why should that guy get another chance and he doesn't? Guarantee you what you don't see is what's going on in the heart and the life of each one of those people. And I guarantee you what's happening is the one who gets the chance has a heart and a repentant spirit about things and acknowledges to God they're right and then does something about it. You know, that parable of the prodigal son, there's just one trip to the hog pen for this kid. That's it. He didn't have to keep going back to the hog pen to figure it out. I watch him. I think to myself, wow, how many trips you got to make to this pig pen? How many more times you got to sweep the hog pen out? And I've told you before, I lived on a farm for a while and as a kid, slopped hogs from the scraps that were left over from butchering chickens and everything else. Leftover meal food, dumped in that big barrel, dumped it in front of those pigs. They ate it. I never looked in that barrel and said, little pesto, that would work. Little garlic salt. Fresh garlic, no? I never looked in there, saw them chicken feet and guts and stuff and said, man, that looks so good. What came out of that thing was really good. She fried that, we won't go into it. But the truth is, look at me, here's this kid. No, he made one trip to the pig pen. David was not sinless after Bathsheba by any means. But he never committed the sin of Bathsheba again in his life. You want a second chance? May I encourage you with a simple thought this morning? You better take it while you can get it. But take it with a spirit that gets God's attention, which is, I have sinned. Get it right in your heart with the Lord. Fix it in your mind that what you are and you're doing. And don't waste time. When it says that the prodigal came to himself, it does mean literally in his thinking, he kept, you know, doing the blame game. Well, my dad, you know, after all, my dad. Then there's that older brother of mine. Yeah, there he is, and he always held it over my head. And then there's the economy. Look, we're in a famine, and oh, I'm in the famine, and it's not my fault I'm in this famine. And then the thing with the thing, it means he came to himself. He stopped blaming the blame game on everybody else's blame and laying stuff on people. And he just said, you know what? It's me. I chose the road. I'm in the pig pen. I'm getting this thing right. There is the God of the second chance standing by the edge of that hog pen saying, come on, son, go home. Your father's waiting for you. He's looking for you, son. He wants you home, son. He wants you home. And he does. Most Christians will get a second chance, and unfortunately, some will not take the one God gives them. They'll keep looking for their options instead of just saying, you know, God, I just want to get this right. Please, friend. Maybe you may be here this morning. You may think, God's done with me. No, he's not. You still breathing? Oh, yeah, he's the God of a second chance. Yes, he is. You may be here this morning thinking, yeah, I've had more than two. I've had three or four or five or six. Yeah, how many more are you going to try to wear out God on? Don't do that. Come to God and get this right. He'll take you back in a heartbeat. What do you do with a second chance? You did what Jonah did. The whale vomited him out. He hits the shore and immediately wants to go back home. Nope. He heads for the city of Nineveh, where he was supposed to go and do what he was supposed to do to begin with. He didn't go, hey, he didn't say, well, I'm out of here. This is good. I got it. I'm okay. Everything's all right. And then he didn't go do his thing. He went and did God's thing. Verse 3 and 4, chapter 3. Look at that. City of Nineveh was several days' journey. He was there in one day. Sounds to me like a guy who was on a mission to get it right. He wasn't waiting until it was, past summer or when I got a better job or when I get a better situation in my life or anything else. No, this guy covered in whale vomit hits the city of Nineveh in a day's journey and starts preaching righteousness. Doesn't sound like a guy who's going to hold back and hold out on God and delay any longer. There is no reason to delay. You got a second chance, take it, and then go out and do exactly what you know you should have done to begin with. And then you head out for God. Too many waste their second chance on by delaying or returning to the thing that created the second chance. Okay, here's something for lunch. Proverbs 26:11. Let me read it to you. This will help you today when you're at the buffet. You ready? As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Think about that when you're having chowder. Dog chews blades of grass to upset their stomach so they'll throw up the hairball. You want me to give you more detail on it? Anyway, they turn around. Yeah. Yeah, they do. They eat it. And you say, well, that is absolutely disgusting. The Bible says, so the fool. Look at me. So the fool returns to his folly. He just goes back to whatever it was that was the sin in his life or their life or her life. Or maybe they try something different. But it's still not what God wants. Hey, they're still trying to do business on their terms instead of God's. Now, when you get that second chance, you jump on that like a chicken on a June bug, Yankee. Jonah covered a 3-day journey in one day. There, God, as the God of the second chance, let him get it and get it right. Boy, I wish I could tell you how the rest of Jonah turned out. And from that point forward, he was an evangelist and No, he goes up and sits on the hillside and wants God to kill everybody. He never really got his head right. He got his second chance and did not take it like he could have fully in his life. August 1975, however many years ago that is, I don't know, I don't have a calculator. I can tell you this. Has it been perfect for Mike Johnson ever since that hot August night? Nope. But I haven't gone back to that hog pen. And I decided a long time ago, he's given me another chance. I'm going to take it. And thank God for the God of a second chance. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.